Parshas Yisro. There's the parsha of Kabbalah Satoira, of receiving the Torah. So we have in Perek Yutes, there's a little introduction for the actual, revelation at Har Sinai of Matan Torah. So at Revi, it says, "B'chodesh Hashlishi Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim B'yoyim Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai." The third month after Bnei Yisrael left Egypt, Chodesh Sivan, on this day, Klal Yisrael came to the Sinai Desert. The next pasuk says, "Vayisu Merfidim." They traveled away from Refidim. "Vayavoyu Midbar Sinai," and they came to the Midbar Sinai, to the Sinai Desert. "Vayachanu Bamidbar," they camped there in the desert. "Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Or," and they camped opposite the mountains. So the Or Chaim HaKadosh has a very famous comment on this pasuk, and it's elaborated on in the Sefer Sichos Musar by Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. He says this pasuk is teaching us what are the ways how a person has to prepare himself, what are the steps necessary to take in order to be able to receive the Torah. He asks the question, why does it say in pasuk Beis, "Vayisum Refidim Vayavoyu Midbar Sinai Vayachnu Bamidbar"? It's obvious. We just said in the previous pasuk, "Vayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai." And if you go back, you'll see the last place they were was at Refidim, right? Because in the end of B'Shalach, it says, "Vayavo Amalek," last week's parasha, "Vayavo Amalek Vayilochem Em Yisrael B'Refidim." Amalek attacked the Jewish people at this place called Refidim. So why does the pasuk tell us, "Vayisrim Refidim, Vayavoyo Bamidbar, Vayachnu Bamidbar"? This whole pasuk, the beginning of it, seems completely extra. So the Or HaChaim explains, the pshat is, famous Or HaChaim, he says the pshat is that the pasuk here is actually alluding to three steps that the Jewish people did in order to prepare to receive the Torah, which these three steps are necessary for every single Jew for all time to be able to receive the Torah. The first is Vayisrim Refidim. What is Refidim? He said Refidim is the place Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael. Why was it called Refidim? So Rashi tells us, quoting Chazal, why was it called Refidim? Sherafu Yedeyem Min HaTorah. The Jewish people became weak in their connection to the study of Torah. Because we know that they got in Parshas B'Shalach certain mitzvos Moshe Rabbeinu taught them when they were at Marah, the place of the bitter waters. And they became weak a little bit in terms of their Torah study. And when they were weak in their connection and in their respect for Torah, so that's when Amalek came and attacked. So the first step, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, to prepare to receive the Torah, is we have to leave Refidim. We have to leave that state of weakness in terms of our commitment to Torah. We have to leave that place which is called Refidim, Ipnei Sherafu Yedeyem in HaTorah. We have to leave that matzav of not appreciating Torah and being weak in our commitment. The first thing is a person has to be committed. He has to realize that Torah is Dvar Hashem. You have to have tremendous respect for Torah, appreciation for Torah. If you don't have it, then you're not going to be able to receive the Torah properly. That's step number one. Step number two is Vayachanu Bamidbar. They camped in the desert. We asked, we know they're in the desert. The previous pasuk says they're in the desert. Why isn't it telling us again they camped in the desert? So the Rechaim explains the reason is to teach us that a person, he quotes the Gemara, I think in Masechus Tainis, other place, I'm not sure exactly where, Gemara says a person should make himself like the desert in terms of studying Torah. What does that mean, make yourself like the desert? Two explanations. One is just as the desert is open on all sides, the desert is open, it's a vast plain, which is open. So a person who wants to learn Torah, he has to make himself open to be able to learn Torah. You have to be a makabel. You have to be a person who's ready, who's open to hearing, open to learning. He makes himself, he takes away the barriers that he has, or maybe the preconceived notions that he has, which are interfering with his ability to learn Torah. and he makes himself open like the midbar. That's on the one explanation. The other explanation is the Gemara says that a midbar represents humility. Humility. Why? Does the desert have anything to like boast about? What does it have? A lot of sand in the desert. It's not much going on over there. It's not like, you know, it's a place that's blessed with, you know, water, with trees. You know, you get to an oasis, maybe, but the desert is garnished. So the desert represents anava, which is, again, the same idea, that in order to be able to learn Torah, you have to have the midah of anava, of humility. You realize that I don't know so much, and I should learn from people that know more, and be makabel, again, to be a makabel, to accept, and be receptive to learning. That's the second step. First step is commitment and appreciation of Torah. Second step is to have humility and be receptive, be open to learning. Third step is Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. Rashi says Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad. They were united as one person with one heart, because Torah explains the Aruch Chaim and Aruch Chaim Shmulevitz. Torah was not given to individuals. Torah was given to the entire Jewish nation as one whole. And in order to accept Torah, you have to have that achdus with the rest of Klal Yisrael, with the rest of the Jewish people. If you have that achdus with the rest of Klal Yisrael, then you'll be deserving of being granted the gift of Torah. Torah is a gift. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us this gift. And just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the nation the gift of Torah, also he gives it to individuals. But in order to be deserving of receiving the gift, you have to be person who is connected and loves and is united with the rest of Klal Yisrael. You have to be ba'achdus. Those are the three steps, says the Aruch Chaim, which are the preparations for Kabbalah Satorah. Just want to add one last point, which is another very important idea that I like to say in this week's parasha that I once heard in the name of Rav Isaac Sher, who was the son-in-law of the Alter of Slabodka. The elder of Slabodka was the founder of Slabodka Yeshiva. Said a murder the Kapshat. Says the following few psukim later. It says, Moshe Olokim, Hashem, Moshe Ben goes up to Hashem. Vayikra elav Hashem in Ahar Lamor, Hashem called out to him and he said, Ko tomar lebeis Yaakov, v'tagi lebnei Yisrael. This is what I want you to tell the Jewish people, the men and the women. I want you to tell them the following. Okay, so imagine the scene. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come join us, Natan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, some chunk left, some kugel. Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm about to give Klal Yisrael the Torah. I want you to get them ready. I want you to get them psyched. I want you to get them prepared. You're going to give them now this following pep talk. This is the speech. Okay, this is what they need to know in order to receive the Torah. What do you say this? Rashi says, Tagim Ben Yisrael, this, not more, not less. This is what you should say. What does he tell them? Atem Re'isim Asher Asisim L'Mitzrayim. You saw what I did to Egypt. V'aseschem Alkan Finish Sharim. I took you out on wings of eagles. V'aseschem Eli, and I brought you close to me. V'ata, now, Im Shemay Tishmu B'Koyli, if you listen to my voice, Shmatim Es Brisi, and you observe my bris, my covenant, He'isim Yisgula M'Kola Amim, you'll be like a precious treasure from all the nations. You'll be a holy nation of priests, a holy people. This is what you should tell the Jewish people. And Rashi says, not more, not less. This is all you got to tell them. So he said, Rav Isaac Sher said, what's the pshat? So the pshat is like this. We know there's a very famous question in this week's parasha of the Ibn Ezra. We have in this week's parasha the Aseres HaDibros. One of them is Loi Sachmoid. You shouldn't desire, you know, your friend's stuff. You see your friend, he has a great job. He's got a few cars. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a cushy life. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. Don't desire for yourself. Loi Sachmoid. Ask the Ibn Ezra, how's that possible? How's that possible? I'm a human being. I'm a human being. It's a natural human emotion that you see someone, he's multimillionaire, he's got three houses, he's got six cars, You know, he doesn't have to work. He just chills. How can you not be jealous? How can you not be jealous? You're a human being. A human being's natural emotion is, wow, I wish I had such a cushy life. How can the Torah tell you, don't be jealous? It's like saying, you know, don't get angry. I mean, don't be tired. It's a human response. That's the question of the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra says a famous mashal. He says it was like there was a peasant and there's a princess. So does the peasant dream that he's going to marry the princess? Does he really think he's going to marry the princess? It doesn't enter his mind because it's completely out of his realm. What shaykhus does he have to a princess? He's illiterate. She's educated, cultured. He's never going to even meet her, b'chlal. How's he even going to think of marrying her? It's completely impossible. Says Ibn Ezra, it's like a guy thinking, I wish I was a bird and I could fly. Normal people don't think that because they realize this is not in the realm of possibility. You're a human being. Human beings don't fly. Says Ibn Ezra, that's how you're supposed to look at when you see something that your friend has. You should look at it. There's no shaykhus to me. It's like I'm a human being and he's a bird. I'm never going to become a bird. It's not shaykh. It's impossible. It has nothing to do with me. That's how the Ibn Ezra explains. Says the Beis Halevi, said Rabbi Isaac Sher, he thinks the mashal of Ibn Ezra is right, but he says he thinks he could say it the other way. Not just that the peasant thinks it's impossible I'm going to marry a princess. He realizes he doesn't like dream about it like in a serious way and have a real desire to marry the princess because it's completely unrealistic and out of the realm of possibility. But the princess never would think of marrying a peasant. I'm going to marry a peasant. It's beneath my dignity. I'm a princess. Said Rabbi Isaac Sher. That's what Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Would tell the Jewish people, you're getting now the Torah. Now you might get scared. It's got a lot of different rules, regulations, things you're supposed to do, things you're not allowed to do, things that if you do wrong, you get punished. So you can say, how is it possible for me to do this? Realize that you are a holy people. Atem mamleches kainim egoi kadosh. You're princes. You're like the king, the king's sons. Just like the king's son, he doesn't think, oh, I wish I could play in the mud. He's the king's son. If he wants to play, so he has, you know, in his house, a beautiful gym. He's got a beautiful playroom. He doesn't have to go play in the mud. He doesn't say, oh, I wish I could be like the push the people, the peasants, and play in the mud. He realizes his stature. He realizes his significance, his chashivos. If you realize your chashivos, then you'll never do an aveira. That was the message that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael. You're getting the Torah, you're becoming holy. You're becoming elevated. And therefore, you have to realize who you are. If you realize who you are, that will keep you on the path of keeping the Torah properly. Yashikayach, Rabbi Yisrael, have a great Shabbos. Shkayach for the challenge.